A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. After their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported what the chief priests and elders had told them. And when they heard it, they raised their voices to God with one accord and said, "Sovereign Lord, maker of heaven and earth, and the sea and all that is in them, you said by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples entertain folly? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the princes gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. Indeed, they gathered in this city against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, Herod and Pontius Pilate, together with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do what your hand and your will had long ago planned to take place. And now, Lord, take note of their threats, and enable your servants to speak your word with all boldness, as you stretch forth your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." As they prayed, the place where they were gathered shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. The word of the Lord. Blessed are all who take refuge in the Lord. Why do the nations rage and the peoples utter folly? The kings of the earth rise up and the princes conspire together against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us break their fetters and cast their bonds from us. He who is throned in heaven laughs. The Lord derides them. Then in anger he speaks to them. He terrifies them in his wrath. I myself have set up my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. The Lord said to me, "You are my son. This day I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for an inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall rule them with an iron rod. You shall shatter them like an earthen dish."
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritum tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi Domine.
There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you are doing unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man once grown old be born again? Surely he cannot re-enter his mother's womb and be born again, can he?" Jesus answered, "Amen, amen, I say to you, Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it wills, and you can hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.
Verbum Domini.
It is fitting that our observance of the feast of St. Louis de Montfort takes place this year immediately following Divine Mercy Sunday. At the canonization mass of Sister Faustina Kowalska, Pope St. John Paul II recalled in his homily these words that Jesus had spoken to Sister Faustina. Humanity will not find peace until it turns trustfully to Divine Mercy. It was at that mass that John Paul II declared the Sunday after Easter to be henceforth known as Divine Mercy Sunday, a solemn reminder to all the faithful of the need for God's mercy for the establishment and preservation of peace throughout the world. The Divine Mercy image is depicted with two rays of light coming from the Sacred Heart of Jesus, a pale ray signifying baptism, and a red one signifying the Holy Eucharist. And thus we see how the very sacraments of the Church are emanations of mercy flowing from the heart of Christ. And the saint whose feast we celebrate today, St. Louis de Montfort, is best known for his devotion and propagation of total consecration to Jesus through Mary. As the late Pope Francis has reminded us in his final encyclical on the Sacred Heart of Jesus, Dilexit Nos, we would not even have the Sacred Heart of Jesus without the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It was the loving, caring, patient, and gentle heart of Mary that formed and shaped the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Our Lord learned love, mercy, and compassion from the words and actions of his dear mother. And since our Lord, during his earthly life, is the consummate Jew who perfectly practices and fulfills the law, it stands to reason that he would have the utmost love, respect, and deference for Our Lady, his mother. Though Jesus is the King and Master of the universe, he demonstrates incredible humility by willingly submitting himself to his Immaculate Mother, who remains a mere creature. Although by nature Mary is a servant of God, she becomes by grace the woman to whom the Son of God obediently listens as he faithfully adheres to her instructions. St. Louis de Montfort understood well the dynamics of this unique relationship between our Lord and Our Lady. And he naturally viewed devotion to Mary as the easiest, most efficient way of approaching our Lord. True devotion to Mary always leads us closer to Jesus, her divine Son. In an allocution following the canonization of St. Louis de Montfort, Pope Pius XII comments on what he calls the great secrets of the saint. He says the mainspring of all his apostolic ministry, his great secret for drawing souls and giving them over to Jesus, is devotion to Mary. This devotion is the source of all his activity, the reason for all his confidence, and it would have been impossible for him to find a more telling weapon for the times in which he lived. To Jansenism, with its joyless austerity, its somber apprehensions, its proud depressions, he opposes the filial love of the devout servant of Mary, a love which is at once confident, ardent, expansive, and effective For Mary, who is the refuge of sinners, the mother of divine grace, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. She is also our advocate. Placed as she is between God and the sinner, Mary is ever busy invoking the clemency of the judge in order to move him to pity, and she is ever trying to overcome the obstinacy of the sinner. In other words, if it is true that humanity needs to turn trustingly to our Lord's divine mercy to find peace, then it is also true that we need to turn to Our Lady to learn from her example that the tenderness of this mercy, especially in an age where hearts have grown cold and rigid from indifference to human suffering, as well as an overall lack of compassion and empathy. Our Lady continually holds all of us sinners in her heart, prays for us, and continues to and encourages us to trust in the mercy of her Son. In a homily given by Pope Francis on Divine Mercy Sunday in 2022, the late Holy Father comments on the events following the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And we recall that the gospel yesterday, the gospel reading from John, recounts how the disciples were gathered in the evening of that same day and that the door was locked in fear of the Jews. And it's in this situation of fear and doubt and uncertainty that Jesus appears to them and says, "Peace be with you." And the Holy Father then reminds us of the failures of the apostles, how they had abandoned the Lord in his hour of darkness and suffering, how his vicar, St. Peter, had denied knowing him 3 times, and how one of his closest disciples and friends betrayed him and handed him over to his enemies. And yet when Jesus appears before them, he utters no words of anger or hatred or condemnation. He does not chastise them or castigate them for their failures. He simply says, "Peace be with you." And this is a prime example of the incredible mercy of our Lord. It is a powerful demonstration of mercy and the fact that they see their risen Lord and Master alive and well before them, and it's this fact that makes the disciples rejoice. It is the mercy of God that fills them with the joy of the gospel, knowing that the Lord does not condemn them. In fact, the Lord goes even further by breathing on them, conferring on them the Holy Spirit, and granting them the power to forgive sins themselves. They are henceforth commissioned to be missionaries of God's mercy in the world. And then in the first reading from Acts today, we see the fruit of the mercy of God and the gift of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the apostles. They have been preaching the gospel around Jerusalem in fulfillment of the command of Jesus and have performed miraculous healings in his name. And as a result, thousands upon thousands of Jews are coming to believe in Jesus and to be baptized in his name. And the Jewish authorities are gravely concerned by the number of people who are coming to faith in Jesus, the same man whom they clamored to be crucified. And they arrest Peter and John and interrogate them. And when they warn the apostles not to preach in the name of Jesus, the apostles respond that it would be impossible for them not to speak of Jesus. Since the Jewish council can find no reason to punish them, they release them. And once the apostles return to their own people, they could have stirred up a spirit of anger and hatred towards the authorities who had unjustly arrested them. As they prayed to the Lord before the community, they could have asked God to take vengeance on their enemies and to punish them severely. Instead, they pray, "And now, Lord, take note of their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with all boldness, as you stretch forth your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are done through the name of your servant Jesus." They do not pray for retribution, but that the work of evangelization might continue unabated, so that more people might encounter the mercy of God. At this point, it is good to recall that Our Lady is among the apostles, among the disciples who are present at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descends upon them. She is always present throughout the church's evangelization efforts as a constant reminder of the mercy, compassion, gentleness, meekness, and kindness of her Son. She prays for the church, the children of God, that we might always exemplify the mercy of God in all our thoughts, words, and actions. I wish to close with the takeaway from Pope Francis's 2022 homily for Divine Mercy Sunday, because I believe that St. Louis de Montfort would fully approve of these words. Jesus makes us see the wounds of our brothers and sisters. In the midst of our own crises and our difficulties, Divine Mercy often makes us aware of the sufferings of our neighbor. We think that we are experiencing unbearable pain and situations of suffering, and we suddenly discover that others around us are silently enduring even worse things. If we care for the wounds of our neighbor and pour upon them the balm of mercy, we find being reborn within us a hope that comforts us in our weakness, in our weariness. Let us ask ourselves whether, of late, we have helped someone suffering in mind or body, whether we have brought peace to someone suffering physically or spiritually, whether we have spent some time simply listening, being present, or bringing comfort to another person. For whenever we do these things, we encounter Jesus. From the eyes of all those who are weighed down by the trials of life, he looks out at us with mercy and says, "Peace be with you." In this regard, I think of Our Lady's presence with the apostles. I also recall that we commemorate her as Mother of the Church on the day following Pentecost and as Mother of Mercy on the Monday following Divine Mercy Sunday. May she help us move forward in our very beautiful ministry.